Good morning and welcome to Our American Heritage. I am Arch Hunter, the host of the program. Our American Heritage is a program where we explore in depth the American experience from its beginning to the present. And today we want to welcome as our special guests, Brian Gelsmacher and Jason Rood. Gentlemen, welcome to the program and thank you for coming.
Yeah, it's glad to be absolutely.
So, listeners, as background, I met Brian and Jason, I guess it was 4 years ago now, when they came to do a program at the Freedoms Foundation. And I share this story with a lot of people. We were out at the Princeton battlefield, and I was doing an interpretation there. And lo and behold, this Forestry Ranger came out of nowhere and was making quite a bit of a scene about why we were there, who allowed us to come here. Now, we're on the Princeton battlefield, and he was berating us because we were there looking at the Princeton battlefield. And he was quite intense. And finally, for some reason, I tried to stay somewhat calm. And after he was done his ranting and raving, I turned around, and right behind me was Brian and Jason. And they both looked at me and said, "Hey, Arch, we have your back." And so from that point on, these two have been two of my favorite people that I've stayed in contact with. So they have some interesting things that they're doing with American history. And so I've asked them to come onto the program and share with us who they are, their background, and what they're doing, what they're teaching, so on and so forth. Jason, since you were last on, why don't you go first?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember another auspicious start to that whole trip, but that's for another episode.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up because that's still embedded in my mind.
So, I'm a 7th and 8th grade social studies teacher in New Hampton, Iowa, which is in the northeast part of Iowa, just north of Waterloo, for those that are wondering. I've been I'm in my 16th year now. It goes fast. But over the last, it's almost 10 years now, I've had the opportunity to do some summer travel with teacher programs, with Freedoms Foundation being one of them. And that's actually how Brian and I met at Colonial Williamsburg. And that led to some opportunities where we said, hey, you know what? Well, let me back up. I also, on the side, I do some stuff with our local radio station here, mostly sports broadcasts, which gave me some pretty good confidence in recording and doing broadcast type stuff. And so, basically what, and I'll just say it for Brian, we got together and ended up doing a podcast and had a lot of fun with that. And then we said, you know, we think we can take this farther, and I'll let Brian kind of fill in the details on that. But that's kind of where we're at.
And listeners, you might remember that Jason was on program last year, and he did a few programs for us on the Oklahoma City bombing. So that was, I think that was last Christmas, I believe, wasn't it, Jason?
Yes, it was. Yep.
So Brian, share with our listeners, please, your background, education, what you're teaching at this point.
I am a 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade social studies teacher.
Brian, I'm going to stop you right there and say, God bless you. Oh, just God bless
you. He does things for sympathy. It's okay.
I've been a teacher for 9 years. This is my 9th year. I was in retail for 12 years before that. So this, education is my second career. I teach everything from world history to ancient civilizations, medieval history, U.S. history, government and civics. I teach some finance, and I kind of bring a, not that teachers aren't working in the real world, because they are, but I do bring some otherworldly experience to the classroom from things I've done previously.
Are you suggesting you work at Area 51?
I'm not. Goodness gracious.
We're laughing at it around here.
I had the, let's call it fortunate pleasure of meeting Jason Rood in 2019, as Jason mentioned, in Colonial Williamsburg. We got together shortly after that to make, as he said, podcasts. We then ventured into video. And unlike Jason, I don't have a background in video production. I don't have a background in web design. But I've learned as we've gone along, and I feel like it's gotten slightly better than when we started, and it's been a process, and it's been a fun one, and I've enjoyed every second of it.
And Brian, I need to ask you a question, because I have heard this from several of our colleagues. Is it true when you met Jason at Williamsburg that he was actually incarcerated and you had to bail him out for doing some damage to Williamsburg, or was that just another one of those falsehoods?
Careful, Brian.
I will be 100% honest with you. Because of pending litigation, I cannot comment.
You can't deny or understand.
Remember Jason, the brand, Brian. Remember the brand.
Remember the brand.
Right.
But Jason, share with our listeners, please. Is there a certain aspect of American history that you love or like to teach more than another? And if there is, the reasons for that?
Yeah. So if we're talking about specific eras or events, I really enjoy doing the colonial lead up to the revolution. A little bit of the Revolutionary War. I'm just not quite as strong on those topics as I am in others. Now, I'm better since that trip that I took with Arch Hunter on the Philadelphia campaign. I understand that much better than I ever did.
And checks in the mail, buddy. Checks in the mail.
Thanks. But I love doing the colonial lead up, the whole back and forth between the colonists and the King of England and Parliament. And I also like doing the Civil War. And again, not so much the battles, but the why. And that is really it. I like to teach the why. I love great stories, things that the kids haven't heard about. They're a little bit shocked when they hear it. Nothing like that's going to, you know, rock their core.
Sure.
But, you know, I love it when they say, gosh, I never heard that before. Or when they say, well, you know, this is what happened. Well, here's the broader context. Let's look at this piece of history through the wide lens. And then we'll narrow down and look at these individual things. But let's understand the whole context first. So that's really why I like doing those ones, is because there's a lot of great stories that are pretty easy for me to remember.
Sure.
That show that lead up into how we got into these major events that are very well known to everybody.
Do you find that to students, they have this conception or misconception about the lead up to the American Revolution and the good guys, or quote, the bad guys in the whole Revolutionary War and the lead up to it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think for years it's been taught, not necessarily by me, but by many books that are out there. And when I say many years, I'm saying let's go all the way back into the early years of the 50s, the 60s, the turn of the century. The books make it very clear cut. We have to have good guys. We have to have bad guys. And that's part of the reason why Hollywood movies are the way they are. They have to have good guys and they have to have bad guys. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest pieces, in fact, you talk to any one of my kids and ask, what's the biggest quote he uses? And they'll tell you. I would put money on almost anybody saying, my biggest quote is, the world is not black and white. It's many shades of gray. And so I have to fight through that whole black and white concept of this is bad to, well, both sides had some really legitimate reasons for being upset about the things that were happening. If you went out and destroyed, or if you had somebody go out and destroy a bunch of your tea that was a very high value, you'd be a little upset too and probably want to do something to them about it.
Sure.
You know, and if you were the person who was getting the tea taxed, or maybe there was one specific business, we won't talk about the East India Trading Company too much, but they were benefiting, you'd be a little upset if that was being done on your dime. And so that's the type of back and forth I like to do. So they understand that now there's some legitimate claims from both sides, and eventually it leads to the point where they just can't solve it any other way.
And so do you feel that, or think in your study, that the American Revolution was really a war over a total misunderstanding of both sides towards each other?
Yeah, I think so. And I think part of that is, in a lot of ways, the speed of communication. And that sounds weird. But I mean, you think about how slowly the communication was between the two sides. You had to send stuff over on ships, and you're talking a minimum 6 weeks just to get a letter across the ocean at that time. Where today, we could do a video chat, or like we're doing, we're literally on the phone talking together, you know, and we're not close to each other. You know,
I'm in Iowa.
You know, so I think that's part of it. But yeah, and I think there was a little bit of both sides had their priorities and didn't necessarily want to see what the other side's priorities were, coupled with a lack of communication. Yeah.
Sure. And Brian, do you, is there a specific time period in American history that you find more enjoyable to teach, or your favorite time period that you like to teach?
I'm going to sound like a broken record because I have actually the same era as Rude does. I really enjoy teaching the period between the French and Indian War and the end of the Revolutionary War.
Yeah,
it's fascinating to tell those type of stories and to kind of build on what Jason was talking about. You know, we live in a world where the kids are inundated with I must either like this or dislike it. Mm-hmm. I must either. And we're presented that same kind of idea in the news today as well. If you catch any shred of news in our world, it's this is great, this is awful. But like Jason said, so many of the stories that are told aren't exactly clear cut. There aren't exactly bad guys, good guys. There is a lot of grayscale. Mm-hmm. To have to reckon with. And that's kind of how I approach things in my classroom as well, too.
Did I hear a dog in the background bark?
Yeah. Somebody okay. must. I'm well, not sure if you saw a lot, but.
This is a very dog-friendly show. So.
Well, this might be some of that otherworldly stuff that Brian was talking about. I don't know.
That's right.
Now, Brian, when we looked at the French and Indian Wars several years ago, we had presented that class from the foundation. There was almost every teacher that we had, and I was in the same category. We all said we know so little about the French and Indian War, but that is so important to the coming up to the American Revolution. Why do you think that we have simply overlooked the French and Indian War in so much of our teaching?
I think it's hard for people to reconcile that we were on one side and then we were on another. You know, in just a period of, you know, 15 years, you had someone, for example, George Washington, wearing a red coat, walking out into the Ohio Territory into the West as a British soldier. And then just, again, 12, 13 years later, he is taking up arms against those same red coats. It's hard to understand because it kind of going back to what we're talking about, it kind of turns that good guy, bad guy thing on its head.
Yeah,
and you have to address the fact that, well, we were with these guys, but now we're not. How does that work? And it's confusing. So I think that's something, and I can tell you from my own experience, and I know Jason's the same way, this is something that we teach. You know, I almost teach the French and Indian War like it's the start of the revolution.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
That idea that our disagreements, our issues, come as a result of the French and Indian War.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Jason, do you also teach the background when you said you lead up? Do you deal with the French and Indian War in your teaching?
Yes, not to the same extent as I do the full-on revolution.
Sure.
And I do have to say, I am not shocked in any way that Brian brought up George Washington and the French and Indian War. I'm shocked he did not say anything about Jamonville, because that was so difficult to get into. And there's that. But anyway, but to pick up on Jamonville myself, of course, there's that great story about Washington and this French guy, Jamonville, and a little skirmish that happens, and then Half King getting a little handsy with his hatchet and giving the guy a splitting headache. We'll leave it at that. That's for another episode for you to clean up for us, Arch. But anyway, that's honestly one of the introductory stories I tell getting into the actual revolution, because the kids hear that and they're like, well, what, you know, and of mm-hmm. course somebody getting split open is always going to catch some attention. But then they realize that, oh my gosh, there's like seriousness behind this, and this is a complete mess up, and like, this isn't how it was supposed to go. And what does this all mean? And it leads to a great conversation. And then we can get into Fort Necessity and mm-hmm. how that went down. And we can talk about the politics between and what everyone had to gain as far as particularly the French and the British. And then, of course, the Native Americans as well. It leads into a great conversation about what everyone was fighting for or what they thought they were fighting for and what they were looking to gain or not gain.
All right. Now, gentlemen, I don't know if share with our listeners if you've experienced this, because when I was teaching in the classroom, when the revolution, I would make the statement, opening statement, one lesson, that I would ask them, well, who started the French and Indian War? And, you know, they'll say, oh, the French, oh, the Brits, or, you know, they'll always say, or some of the colonists. And I'll let them share that. And then I'll look at them and say, you're all wrong. George Washington started the French and Indian War.
Indians started it.
Yeah, and so do you do that or share that, or do you incorporate that in when you're teaching the French and Indian War, how this all started from this young George Washington making numerous mistakes?
I've never said it that way. I've told the story of the mistakes he made, but I've never said George Washington started the war. That's an interesting new way, and I believe I just found a new way to teach something.
Well, that is how I teach that. I mean, I do basically say that Washington may have started a world war. We also talk about the mistakes. We talk about the placement of Fort Necessity. We talk about how it's in an awful location. We talk about Jumonville. We talk about Washington's inability to speak French and to properly translate the letter he was handed. That's one of the first things I mentioned is you've got this 22-year-old out there. Remember, he's 22.
Yes.
But I mean, it's because of those choices made by Washington that he sparks a world war.
Mm-hmm. And gentlemen, we might be remiss if you would share with the listeners, please, because a lot of the listeners might not be familiar with Jumonville Glen. So,
Brian, go for it.
I've never been. So,
I've been past there.
So I can only speak very limited basis on it. It's where the French were camped, and the Brits, led by Washington and their native allies, stumble across them one morning, and there is again, as Ruth said, there's a skirmish, and just when it seems as though things are going to kind of calm down, this native ally of the British, half king, decides that he's not quite done fighting yet. I guess probably for the fact that he's a mercenary, mm-hmm. and if they're not really going to fight, he's probably not going to get paid. So I can only, that's kind of how I kind of approach it. He decides that I'm going to bludgeon this man with a hatchet, and then he bludgeons the man and scoops out some of the French officer's brains and washes his hands of the whole situation, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. And Brian, also tell them about the time you got to ask George Washington about this.
This is one of my prouder moments. Our friends at Colonial Williamsburg did do a live stream during COVID with a young George Washington interpreter, and I was fortunate enough to type in my question. And my question was, what were you thinking as you turned to see Half King do what he did to Jumonville? and when the question was read during the live stream, you could see the young George Washington interpreter's face kind of, his eyes got slightly larger, and he did a masterful job of answering the question without answering the question.
Yeah, right.
He didn't bring any detail for obvious reasons, but
sure.
it was one of my prouder moments.
One of the funnier parts of that, we're pretty sure that the person asked the question was the Martha Washington interpreter, who does a marvelous job and a very accurate representation of Martha. But you could kind of tell in the way she read it. I think she had a smile on her face, one of those deepest smiles on her face, like, yeah, let's see what you do with this one.
Yeah.
I loved that part of the conversation after the fact. Like, why would you do that to me? You know, I would love to know what that conversation was like after the fact.
And Jason, you said you have been past Jumonville Glen once in your teaching
career. Yeah, so in 2015, I took my entire family out to Washington, D.C., and my wife and my son were my daughter flew back because she had to get back to work, but my dad was just retired. My mom had all kinds of time to give for time off from work, and it was summertime for me. So we were driving back, and I said, I don't want to take the interstate back through southern Pennsylvania. Let's cut across on some of the state roads up across Maryland and southwest Pennsylvania. And all of a sudden I realized as we're going through southwest Pennsylvania, oh my gosh, we're at Fort Necessity right now. Like, I'm looking down the hill, there's Fort Necessity. And we went right past General Braddock's grave, which is just off the road there. We didn't go up into Jumonville Glen, and I didn't really know that story well. Had I known more about that story at that time, we would have stopped. But yeah, I've been through that neck of the woods just once, completely through happenstance.
Yeah, we were there 4 years ago, gentlemen, and it's one of those places. I know that we all have these places where we go, where we have this sense that something horrible happened, and it's a very sobering, almost like a veil over top of us that something awful happened in these particular locations. And one of them for me is Oriskany. And when we were at Jumonville Glen, I experienced that there also, just to stand there in this little alcove of an area, realizing what happened here and the ramifications of what happened here all over the world for the next 20 years. It's just very sobering to experience that.
So. Mm-hmm.
So, gentlemen, as you can see, listeners, this is why these got two of my favorite guys, because they have a lot of life. They have some humor. They have passion for what they teach. They're continuing their education and expanding their education, not only throughout the school year, but during their time off in the summer to go to these different locations and do these different seminars. And so we have about 2 minutes left, gentlemen. Would you begin to share with our listeners about your latest endeavors with History Productions? And before you do that, listeners, I have volunteered myself to have some sort of be involved with these two gentlemen and their History Productions and what they are doing. And they were kind enough to sure come along with us, and you know, we can work on this together. It's their baby, and the reason that I asked if I could be involved with them is because of my respect for both of these young gentlemen and their passion for American history, but also the ability to have some fun along the way and to see what's going on. So with a minute left, gentlemen, we're going to break right into our next session. What is History Productions? What is the background of it? What are you trying to develop from your History Productions?
Go ahead, Brian.
As Rude mentioned, a while ago, we had started a podcast. It didn't work out the way we wanted it to. It wasn't moving in the right direction. So we said to ourselves, what are we doing? How are we refocusing? So we refocused, we rebranded, and we created History Bridge Productions. It is a multifaceted production company. We're doing podcasts, we're doing video. We are doing, eventually we're going to be doing lifestyle blogs. The premise is that we are bridging the gap between past and present, to better educate the world in whatever manner they see fit. You know, we are trying to open ourselves up to all sorts of different types of education. And if it helps people grow, then that's what we're here for.
And as we close this, as we close this section, gentlemen, how could someone get a hold of you, or you know, sign up for or your History Bridge Productions?
Yeah,
historybridge.net. So, go ahead.
Yeah, so historybridge.net is the website that anybody can check out. That will give you links to all of the different projects that we're working on, and then additionally. You know, I mean, and that's the thing. You can reach out to us through email at historybridgeprod@gmail.com. And I mean, we're looking for some content stuff. We're a little specific on what we take. It's got to have a pretty good premise, but we're certainly looking for sponsors and sponsorship if you want to be involved that way to help us develop even bigger pieces and more in-depth stuff. So, I mean, we're looking for all types of things, whether it's sponsorships or content production.
And this, listeners, this is in the beginning stages, so please jump on their podcast, jump on their website. They also are on Facebook, so it's a wonderful place where we can learn so much more about American history. So, Brian, Jason, thank you for beginning to share with us. It is my privilege and honor to know you a little bit and to see you throughout the summer and see what you're doing. So thank you so much for what you're doing and sharing with our listeners today.
It was awesome to be here. Thank you, Arch.
Hey, every time I get a chance to spend time with Arch, it's a good day. So this is great.
Okay. And listeners, I have also some swamp land in Philadelphia that you can buy if you want to believe that also. But Jason, Brian, thank you. this is 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty.